revelation of Jesus Christ. It was written by John, the Revelator, a man who loved Jesus. You know, when Jesus met Peter, he gave him a name, Cephas. But John gave himself this name, I'm the disciple whom Jesus loved. He dwelt on the love of Jesus, and John loved Jesus very, very much. I think that's why he saw Jesus. And six times in the book of John, we see he's the disciple whom Jesus loved, over and over and over again. But as we start this book, I want you to notice there's several things that the book promises to you. It says in verse number 3, blessed is he that readeth and hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things that are written therein. And then he says, for the time is at hand. If you want to be blessed as we go through this book, you have to read the book. You can't sit there and say, just feed me, preacher. You have to actually open the book up. You need to pray over it. You need to read the words. And he said, blessed. This is God speaking to you people. He says, blessed are you if you will read the words of this book. This is a fantastic book. He says, the time is at hand. And I think at any other time in all of history, we are closer to the end of the world right now. Amen. I really do. I see it so often. The United Nations, the one world entities. We've had several presidents try to give our country away. They've gone overseas. They've made deals with other nations. But if you read this book, you'll find out. Over in Revelation 13, that's the devil's end game. Do you know the devil doesn't care if you come to church? In fact, the devil likes you in church. But the devil really hates it if you see Jesus. He wants you to be religious. And that's what the devil's going toward. And the devil is going toward a one world government. And everything that you see in the news today is all about one world government. Have y'all heard of Brexit? Where England is trying to draw out of the European Union?
Yep.
Well, that's exactly what they were trying to do. The devil, up in Revelation 13, he says he's going to establish a one world government. He said, I see a beast rise up. He's going to have 10 horns and 7 heads, and this beast is going to come, and he's going to rule the world. That's what the devil's going towards. You know, when you read the book, it keeps us from being foolish. You know, one thing, you may not agree with our president today, but I thank God that our president is for the United States.
Amen.
Now, you may not agree with everything he does, and I don't either, but thank God that he's got focus on America. Because God established the nations to protect his people. And every nation is supposed to be a nation indivisible and protecting the people that's within it. God is against a one world government. Because when the devil gets with a one world government, he will do the same thing he's done with many churches. You know, I love the autonomy of the Baptist church. People ask the question, why is the Baptist church autonomous? I'll tell you exactly why it is. Because, beloved, if you've seen the churches that sat under a bishop, wherever error is admitted into that church, it goes into every element of that church.
Yep.
Every element. You say, preacher, what denominations? All you need to do is open your newspaper and read. Homosexuals in the pulpit preaching the Word of God. Women preaching the Word of God. Things going against what God says in His Word. And it's because it filtered in when all the churches bound together. We come together as Baptist churches so that we can do missions together. And I think that's a good thing.
Amen.
I think we need to lift up. And I want y'all to know something. The day your pastor gets away from the Word of God, I call on you to get rid of him and get somebody else a little more handsome. Amen.
Amen.
And a little better. When we get off the Word of God, it's up to the people of God who are filled up with the Holy Spirit of God to say no. And to say, I'm going to stay in the book and love the book and cherish the book because that's what God has given us.
Amen.
Every believer in Christ is filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And John, the Revelator, as he was on that island, it was the Holy Spirit who lifted him up. And it's the Holy Spirit that will lift you up.
Amen.
I love it. He says, the book is to be read. The book is to be heard. You know, people ask the question, why do we have to have church? I've talked with a number of people who say, well, I could have church out in the woods. Well, that'd be a wonderful thing if you had two or three others with you and you actually did it.
Amen.
But let me tell you something. The book is to be heard. He says it's to be heard. You're to listen. Because where two or three are gathered together in Christ's name, Jesus said, there am I in the midst of them. At any other time in history, the churches need to love one another and the Christians need to love one another. And I want y'all to know something. We need to gather together looking for Jesus just as John did. We need to cherish one another in these times because we stand against the darkness. The darkness in America today is not because the devil has done what he did. The darkness in America today is because the church has not lifted up the Christ.
Amen.
When we don't stand for Jesus, then where is going to be the light? Yes. Beloved, we must be the light of God. And in these days, we need to love one another. I want y'all to take a minute right now, look at your neighbor, say, I love you. Glad to see you in the name of Jesus. You got to hear the words. You've got to hear it. And it's not this preacher that's going to give you the information, but praise God, it's the Spirit of truth. Jesus promised us the Spirit of truth, and he said in John 16, he said, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Whatever he hears, he'll speak, and he'll declare to you the things that are to come, and he will glorify me. That's what this book does. It glorifies Jesus. The third thing he promises, he says, you'll be blessed if you keep the book. That means to do the things that we're going to discover throughout this book. The Bible tells us that blessed are those that hear the word of God and keep it. Jesus said in Matthew 7, 24 and 25, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I'll make him like a wise man who built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon the house and it would not fall because it was founded on a rock. If you do what God, Jesus says, you will not fall.
Amen.
Y'all excuse me for preaching on a Sunday night. I know you're tired and want to go home, but I'm not going to cut into anything but another rerun of Simon and Simon. Amen. Oh, praise God. If you do what God says, God will bless you.
Amen.
And every life that I see that is falling apart is a life that says, I heard what Jesus said, but. And when you say but, you will not be blessed. It's only when you hear what he says and do what he says that you will be blessed. And God has made that promise. He said, blessed is he who not only reads this book, that's your personal time, hears that book, comes back and listens to it. And I'm going to keep inviting you. Come back on Sunday night. We're going to go through this book. Invite your friends. But the other thing is, let's not just hear it and walk away, but let's do what God has told us to do. It's easy to hear it. It's easy to grin at the preacher. It's easy to grimace at the preacher, but it's tough to do what the book says. But if you do what the book says, God will enable you to be blessed in it. I want to notice a few things about this book as we look at it. In Revelation 1:9, let's read this together. It should be on your sheet. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. John says, I was in tribulation. Why was he in tribulation? He was in tribulation because he stood against the dark world that was around him. Beloved, I want you to know this. If you're never at world war with the world around you, then you're not walking with Jesus. Because the world is in darkness. And the things of the world is in darkness. I talked about this morning, how the world is changing pronouns now because they no longer see people as him or her, but anything in between. We talked about this a few weeks ago. There are 46 different genders you can be. That I didn't make that up, Brother Dale. That's true. 46 different genders. But God made them male and female. And when you stand up and you say God made them male and female, the world doesn't like that. And the world will never like that. But listen, the darkness is never like the light anyway.
Amen.
When I take the light down in this room, you know what's going to happen? It's going to get dark. And the darkness is always at war with the light. John said, the reason that I'm in tribulation right now, cast off into an island called Patmos, the reason that I'm here into a place and deserted and left alone, is because he said, I stood for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. He said, I love that word of God. And if you love the word of God, the world doesn't love you. But the word of God is the lifeblood of the Christian. Oh, how I love the word of God. Do you love the word of God?
Amen.
I love the word of God because the word of God is my compass. It keeps me straight. But the other thing is, he said, I did it for Jesus, the testimony of Jesus. What is the testimony of Jesus? The testimony of Jesus is there is salvation in no one but Christ.
Amen.
Now the world has gotten away, and the world doesn't like that. The world likes to say, oh, well, you know, you can be saved if you're a good Hindu or a good Buddhist or a good follower of Joseph Smith, or you can be a good Baptist and go to heaven. That's what they say. They say you can be a good Catholic and go to heaven. If you count enough beads, you can get there. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. That makes a very narrow thing right there. And the world doesn't like that. The world says that's hate speech. That's what they said to John. That's hate speech. And that was why John got in trouble. You know, in the early church age, it was not wrong to worship Jesus. It was wrong to worship Jesus exclusively. As long as you worshiped everybody else and you made allowance for everybody else, and once a year you burned incense to Caesar, you were okay. They didn't care. As long as you said everybody can go to heaven as long as they worship any of these gods, whatever they might be, they were all right with that. But if you ever said Jesus is the only way, they didn't like that. But the truth is the truth.
Amen.
And the truth is that Jesus is the only way.
Amen.
There is no other way that you can give it to God. Jesus said this. He said in John 15, he said, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. You know, the day you got saved, you did not belong to the world anymore.
Amen.
I'm going to say that again. The day you got saved, you didn't belong to the world anymore.
Amen.
I'm going to do that one more time. The day you got saved, you don't belong to the world anymore.
Amen.
You are in a completely different place. You don't belong to the darkness anymore. Doggone it, listen to me. You don't belong to the darkness anymore.
Amen.
You don't need to impress the darkness anymore. You belong to Jesus Christ. He's the one who died for you. He's the one who went to Calvary for you. He's the one who shed his blood for you. And if you're born again, you don't belong to the world.
Amen.
Jesus said the world is going to hate you for that. And it does. But that's all right. As a saying that they have, haters going to hate, let them hate. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to love Jesus anyway.
Amen.
Jesus said the world is going to hate you. He said you're not of the world. But because you're not of the world, I chose you out of the world. Therefore the world hates you. Jesus said this. He said, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. We just need to keep our eyes on Jesus. John kept his eyes on Jesus. He kept his eyes on Jesus, no matter what anybody else said. And he stood up for the testimony of Jesus. Jesus said in John 14, 6, I'm the only way to God. Jesus said in Matthew 7, 21, he said, I'm the one you must believe in if you want to go to heaven. He said in John 6, 63, I am the only one that has the words of life. He said in John 3, 14, I alone give eternal life. He said, in John 10, 7, I am the gate of the sheep. He said in John 6, 35, I am the bread of life. And he said in John 11, 25, I am the only resurrection and the life. Jesus is very specific.
Amen.
There is no other way.
Amen.
People must come to him and receive him and be saved. I want you to notice in this text tonight too. Look at Revelation and 1 verses 4 through 6. I get excited sometimes and go too fast. I'll go slower now. Is that all right? I'll get y'all out of here before 7, though. Maybe. Amen. But look on your sheet, Revelation 1, 4 through 6. There should be a responsive reading there. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace. Oh, praise God for grace and peace. It says, grace be unto you and peace. From him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne.
And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth.
Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood.
And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
I want y'all to look at verse number 5 that you read responsibly. I've got something there in capital letters. John is on this island. He's abandoned on this island. He is apparently by himself. But John, as he writes, he says, I'm writing to the seven churches. And as he writes, he says, this is me. I'm John to the seven churches. But then in verse number 5, I want you to notice what he says. And from Jesus Christ. Beloved, when you suffer, Jesus is with you.
Amen.
Jesus has promised never to leave you nor forsake you. That's where our victory is. The Christ follower is never alone. If you're following Jesus, you're never alone. He says, and from Jesus Christ. And look what he says. Jesus is the faithful witness. Jesus is the faithful. When Jesus came to this world, he was a faithful witness. He's our example. People kept asking Jesus, by what authority do you do this? By what authority do you do that? Dr. Philip asked Jesus one day. He said, Jesus, if you would show us the Father, it would be sufficient to us. You know what Jesus said? He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Now think about that for a minute. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Now y'all follow me. I'm going to give you something here that you can take home with you. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus, when he came to do his Father's witness, his Father's will. And he was the faithful witness. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. When people see you, do they see Jesus? I'm going to take a minute and just stare at y'all like y'all staring at me. Because that's not a trick question. Jesus was a faithful witness. The Father sent him to this world. And Jesus, even though he was betrayed, and even though he was mocked, and even though all the Pharisees went against him, and even though everybody went around and told lies about him, they said, he's of Beelzebub. His father is actually the devil. That's what they said. Has anybody called you a devil? They called Jesus a devil. And then at the end of his road, they took Jesus and beat him. And Pilate said, if you'll just give it up, if you'll let it go, I can release you. He said, I have the power to release you. And Jesus wouldn't give it up. He stayed the course, even though they beat him, even though they mocked him, even though they spit on him, even though the soldiers beat him with their fists, Jesus stayed the course. And then when they made him carry his cross to the hill called Calvary, dragging it down that road that day, and as that cross bore into the bloody back of our Savior, and he fell down, and they got a man out of the crowd to help him, he still didn't recant. He was a faithful witness. As they laid him down on that cross and they drove those nails into his hands, into his feet, Jesus was a faithful witness. And as they raised that cross and dropped it into the socket of the earth, and they began to mock him and say, if you're really the Son of God, get yourself down. Jesus was the faithful witness. He was faithful. And if you saw Jesus, you saw the Father. And when you saw Jesus dying on Calvary, you saw the Father's heart. Because the Father said, I love them so much that I will give my Son for them. Isn't that a wonderful thing?
Amen.
What a love God has for you and for me. That he would let his Son go through that. What a love that Jesus had for you and for me that he went through that. But Jesus was a faithful witness.
Amen.
And we're called to be faithful witnesses too, if we love him. The Bible says in Revelation 1:5, it says he's the faithful witness. He's the first begotten from the dead, the first one resurrected from the grave. and the prince of the kings of the earth. And he is the one who loved us. And look what it says. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Jesus will never leave you. He will never, ever leave you. Amen. When you leave this place, Jesus will go with you. Amen. When you go through the valleys, and I know some of you are going through valleys now, Jesus will be with you. Amen. I know some of you cry in the night. Jesus is there. And Jesus knows your burdens. He knows what you're going through. Jesus knows it. And as you reach up in prayer to him and you go to him, Jesus will manifest himself to you as he did to John. As he's done to me as I've gone through tragedies in my life. Life is a string of tragedies, it seems sometimes. But the glorious thing about it is this. God will not abandon those that he paid for.
Amen.
He loves you so very, very, very much. Jesus says in Isaiah 41:10, fear not, I am with thee. Be not dismayed, I am your God, and I will strengthen you. I will help you, and I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Then Jesus says to us in Jeremiah 1:8, he says, don't be afraid of those around you. Don't be, I love this. Do not be afraid of their faces. Think about that for a minute. When I look out there, I see some pretty good looking faces. Some of y'all need some work. Some of you grimacing at me. Some of you smiling and seeing Jesus. And some of you seeing a bullet in me. Amen. But he says, don't be afraid of their faces. They can't hurt you.
Amen.
Nobody can hurt you but what God allows it to happen.
Amen.
And if God allows it to happen, it's a good thing. Something else we see in Revelation, and I love this, continuing the subject of the trial. My trial does not diminish what Christ is making me to be. As we go through trials, sometimes we feel so discouraged. And have y'all ever felt that way? Just discouraged? Down in the mouth? You just don't feel like you're worth anything. Look what John says. He says, John's got his eyes on Jesus. And look what he says in verse 5 and 6. Unto him that loved us. Oh, I love that. He loved us. And he washed us from our sins in his own blood. And he has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. Oh, what Jesus says is this. He says, you are not nothing. But you are kings and priests.
Amen.
Unto me. Why are you kings? Because if you're born again, you're born into the family of God.
Amen.
And every one of you are children of God by faith in Christ.
Amen.
I wouldn't want to be anything else.
Amen.
I would rather be a child of God than I would be the President of the United States.
Amen.
I'd rather be a child of God than I would be a millionaire.
Amen.
I wouldn't want to be a bank president if I couldn't be a child of God. Amen.
Amen.
And I wouldn't only want to be a preacher if I couldn't be a child of God.
Amen.
Because the best thing of all is to be a child of God.
Amen.
Because one day, I can see when I get to heaven, the angels are going to look at me and they're going to be bewildered by what they see. Because all eyes looking at me, you don't see a whole lot. But when God looks at me, he sees a king.
Amen.
He sees one of the children of the kingdom. And when God looks at you, if you're born again, he sees a king. He sees something else. He sees a priest. You all have. That was our Sunday school lesson this morning, wasn't it, Miss Ruby? Brother Jimmy. I enjoyed those lessons. I couldn't hear all of Miss Ruby's, but I enjoyed Brother Jimmy's. We are priests before God. What does that mean? That means y'all don't have to come in here into a little booth next to me and tell me all your troubles. Now, I don't mind you telling me your troubles, though some of you tell me too much. Amen.
Amen.
But I don't mind counseling. I don't mind pointing you to Jesus. That's fine. But you know, as priest unto God, you've got one high priest, and it isn't me. It's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I report to the same high priest that you report to.
Amen.
And you've got direct access to God every day. Now, that don't make you want to shout like a Pentecostal. I don't know what's wrong with you. You got direct access to God.
Amen.
Every prayer you make to God, if you make it in the name of Jesus, God hears it.
Amen.
Because your high priest stands between you and God, and he hears everything you say. You have a priest before you, and that is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And every prayer you make, God hears it. Don't ever get discouraged. You know, I've been through so many discouraging things in my life, and one thing I found, when I start to pray, things get a whole lot better.
Amen.
I can't tell you how many times I've laid on the floor before God praying, pouring my heart out to God, saying, Father, I don't know. I can't tell you how many times I've laid on this carpet right here and wept. Wept. Praying for you and praying for the things that you're going through and the things, the trials that you're going through. But as I take it to God, he hears it. And if you take it to God, he hears it.
Amen.
You are kings and priests unto God. Don't let nobody tell you anything else.
Amen.
If you're born again, you're in the family. I've had this name of Buffalo my entire life. I can't tell you how many fights I was in at school because of the name Buffalo. Somebody come up and look at me, Buffalo Bill, and they grin at me and try to make fun of me. You know how I got the name Buffalo? You know how hard I had to work to get the name Buffalo? I didn't work at all for the name Buffalo. You know why? Because I was born to two buffaloes. I used to feel bad about that. I was in the military and I met people of all different types. And one day I met a fellow named Roach. On that day I went to Jesus and said, thank you, God, I'm not at least called a roach. Because I can't think of an animal that's even worse than a roach. I got the name Buffalo because I was born to buffalo. My children got the name Buffalo because they were born out of buffaloes. If you're born again in Jesus, you've got the name Christian because Christ has given you life.
Yes.
And you belong to God.
Amen.
You don't let anybody else tell you anything different. The devil comes around, you tell him to get lost. Amen.
Amen.
If you're in Christ, he says, he hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. And then he says, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever.
Amen.
Last year, we collected soup for the homeless and for the hungry, for Harvest Share. And we did that, and we competed with a church up the road. And at the end, we got a dinky little trophy because we won. I like what we did better this year.
Amen.
We don't have a nickel trophy. I don't care. I think what we did it for Jesus this year.
Amen.
And I think God is more honored than that. If you belong to Jesus, everything you do should honor Jesus.
Amen.
Everything you should do. I heard an interesting story the other day. And I will tell you, it's my story. It was Pastor Tony Evans. I like to listen to sermons. I like to read sermons. I hope one day I'll learn how to preach. I do. I hope one day to learn how to preach. But Pastor Tony Evans told a wonderful story the other day, and I want to share it with you. He said, a man's lost in the desert. He's his third day without water. He's dying. He desperately needs water. He's about out of hope. He's staggering. His knees are bent, and off in the distance, he sees a little shack. That gives him a little courage for the journey, so he staggers toward that shack. And when he gets to the shack, the door's not locked. He opens the door, and in the middle of the shack, there's a pump. He goes to this pump, and he's just ecstatic. He starts working the handle on that pump, but nothing happens. It's just squeaking. Nothing's coming out. He looks up to heaven. He goes, God, why in the world did you leave me here? He said, why in the world did you leave me here where there's no water? He looks around that shack and he sees in the corner a mason jar with a note attached to it. The mason jar is full of water, holds about a quart. And the note says this, use this water to prime the pump. And when you're done, fill the jar so the next traveler can drink. The man has a choice. Right there, he's got a dilemma. He is starving for water. If you've ever been really thirsty, and I've been really thirsty, every fiber of his being has said, drink the water that's in the jar. And he can get temporary blessing out of it if he drinks the water that's in the jar. Or he can look at the word that's written on that piece of paper, and he can prime the pump and have water unlimited on that primed pump. Which should he do? Tony Evans went on to say this. He said, that's you and me. That's you and me. And we have a choice before us. We can do what God tells us in his word, and we can prime the pump, and we can drink from it and bless others from it, or we can guzzle it all ourselves and then be thirsty. So many churches are choosing the second option. I'm going to guzzle it and I'm going to be thirsty. Jesus didn't save us to guzzle it and just then go thirsty. But he saved us so that we could prime the pump with the living water. We're to carry the message of Christ out into the world. We're to tell others about Jesus. John, as he was on Patmos, was struggling to live. He still had the time to write about Jesus. And if we'll make our lives about Jesus, God will bless us more than we can imagine.
Amen.
We serve an awesome God.
Amen.
In Revelation 1:7, it says this, and I'll close with this. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Jesus is coming again. I'd be tickled to death if I heard the trumpet tonight, wouldn't you? But beloved, until you hear the trumpet, let's serve Jesus. Let's lift up Jesus. Even go through the trial, let's focus on Jesus. Jerry, you went to the back row. You can't hide from him. Will you come and lead us in a final hymn, if you would? I love Jerry. Y'all love Jerry?
Amen.
Let's give him a big amen.
Amen.
Give him a hand, too. I love Kathy, don't y'all?
Amen.
Let's give her a hand, too. I don't know what we do without you two, and I don't want to ever know. But if y'all ever decide to leave, let me know so I can get on the train with you. All right? All right.
I was just curious as to what all the interest was back there, so I wanted to join up. The view is different back there, isn't it, Kermit? Go with me to another Fanny Crosby song that we'll end with tonight. It's number 290. And we'll do verses 1 and 4 as we close out this evening. 290.
being with you. I hope if you're able, you'll be here tomorrow at 10 as we move all this soup to Harvest Share. They need it. I pray that y'all have a wonderful week. Wednesday night, Bible study, prayer meeting, and business meeting. So we'll have a good night Wednesday night. All hearts clear? I'm going to ask my brother Buster Walters, if you will, close us in prayer.